Deb, thank you so much. I'm really glad you shared this poem with me when you did. I'm grateful that you agreed to offer it this morning. The way you've encapsulated the sense of freedom offered by these infinite open moments is what grabbed me when I first read it, and what I want to reflect on first. And as I do that, I'm going to warn you all that when I tried last week to play with some preaching from just notes, I enjoyed that freedom so much that I'm going to try it again. When I was a kid, especially when I was in grade school, I definitely felt that feeling that Deb wrote about, that feeling of just endlessness. Part of it was the time moved more slowly then, right? As I think it does for a lot of us when we're kids. As I've gotten older, I've learned that the days go so much faster and that the years now feel like what days or weeks might have felt like when I was a child. So this feeling was so wide open that I didn't know what to do with myself as a kid. I had to just take it day by day, right? Like we so strive to now, take it day by day and immerse in whatever it was I was doing that day. At the beginning of summer, it felt like summer would have no end. And like Deb wrote, I do feel that now a little bit, endless possibility, right? We've been let out. Many of us are saying we can do whatever we want now. And in a way that's true, although I'll touch on that a little bit later. But the way that time was so slow for me as a child, it's kind of shifted for me this year as well. Time has taken on a whole different meaning during this pandemic. Some things feel slower. Some things have felt during this year like forever. And some of that in a good way, and some of that not so much. In general, though, it's one of the things I've appreciated during this time out of time, this year, the ability to slow down a little bit, the ability to know that it's okay if I don't finish this particular task because my head is so foggy that I can't deal with it. I haven't really enjoyed the head fog, but the grace I've allowed myself, that I have enjoyed and hope to perpetuate. And so now, in the midst of this, in the midst of my coming to understand some of the joy of a slower time, there's a vaccine. And there's possibility and there's hope, and our world is opening up. And I feel like the freedom offered by those things and the care that we've learned to take intersect and create a whole bunch of layers, right? The obvious one, the one on top, is we get to go out. We get to do things we haven't been able to do. We get to sit inside with people. We get to hug. We get to see each other. I have seen more people in the last week than I've seen in a year and a half. And with that comes amazing joy. And I'm an introvert. Last weekend, I saw 10 people at a Rebrave event at the zoo. And then I drove a sick bunny to a wildlife rehabilitator. And then, I don't even remember what I did that evening. I was so tired from just that. And then Sunday morning, I got to lead worship from the sanctuary with 6 other people there. And then 30 or more people showed up for a picnic. Wow. And then I got to go home and breathe a little bit before leading a Zoom adult RE session with five other folks. And then I got to go back to Reeve and I got to sit in the parking lot and do a covenant group in person with six other people and one zooming in. And I slept all evening Sunday and almost all day Monday, because I'm so not used to human interaction. And I'm hearing my extrovert friends and my ambivert friends say similar things. This isn't just because I'm an introvert. This is an overload of, oh my God, I can see people. And oh, I have forgotten how much work that is. We get to say yes to other things. Catherine is taking her dad to an adventure in Chicago today for Father's Day. Well, he's driving, but the agenda is all hers. And on the way there, she thought about it because they wanted to park the car in one of the parking garages. And she started thinking, well, we can just take public transportation all over the place. And then she thought, wait a minute, I haven't been on a train in 2 years. Is that okay? Is that safe? And she had to call me. She had to call me and say, Mom, is it okay if Daddy and I get on a train with our masks on? Chicago's still being really careful and requiring masks in the train. And I said, you're fully vaccinated. You get to do whatever you want. You go. And it felt so good. So there's these obvious freedoms and choices we get to make. And then below that, right, below all of these more choices, which is usually what we think of, right, when we think of freedom, I'm starting to think about what happens when we have too many choices. What happened to me in the plethora before the COVID times of too many choices, how hurried and stressed and rushed that felt. And so I'm also thinking about an invitation to deeper intention. I talked a little bit about last weekend and how even extroverts and ambiverts have told me that they're having some trouble adapting. And I'm thinking about my need for deliberate self-care, which I've been immersed in all year. Mostly to combat the brain fog, but now I think it's going to be to make sure that I don't choose too many of those choices and exhaust myself. So for me, that means keeping up that slower pace. It means maybe making sure there are some gaps in my calendaring as I schedule these in-person things and as I intentionally like this evening, immerse myself in the ability to go drum at Olbrich Park with lots and lots of people. Thinking about what I need in the middle of those things. And it means also continuing to care for one another. We've learned so much about caring for each other during this time, about being intentional, about wearing our masks, about doing Zoom, about staying away from the most vulnerable people in person. And I wonder what we're going to retain from that. I'm certainly going to retain an intention to continue to care for each other, to continue to think about mutual aid, to continue to think about community care, as well as what I want and need. And that means caring for unvaccinated people. Right now, children under 12, people who can't get a vaccine due to some underlying condition. How we're going to consider continuing care for others. Is that a burden that impedes our freedom? Will we resent that? Will we think of it as a communal responsibility that we happily rise to, that we happily figure out how to navigate because we've learned what's really important? And so now I bet at least some of you are thinking, that sounds a lot more like work than play, right? Why am I raining on this we finally have the freedom to get out and do whatever we want parade. I have a couple of responses to that question. First is the kind of preachy response. Our choices are tempered by what it means to live in community. We've had a powerful lesson in that this past year. I preach a lot about community and how we all belong and how we hold and how we take care of each other, how we're held by the love that surrounds us. These are metaphors for how we live our lives. And those metaphors this year have taken on a realness like never before. And so, is it really freedom if we're not all free? This is the quintessential idea behind collective liberation, of course, that none of us are free until all of us are free. And if we, yes, Brian, we need to do a little at a time and not rush things. That's one of the things I'm saying, absolutely. And collective liberation, too. If we, and by we I mean our nation, if we're still imprisoning and killing Black people and people of color, then we're all held in the bond of that oppression. If my gender-fluid human siblings aren't able to express the full range of their beings without fear, then I'm held back from knowing we're all safe in my own queerness and in my allyship. If my friend is vaccinated and has kids at home who aren't, then no, we can't eat indoors in a restaurant because she can't. So second, our freedom goes hand in hand with our responsibility for each other, for our planet. We have never just gotten to do whatever we want without real consequences. And none of this means we can't or shouldn't enjoy and play. I can enjoy going for a walk outdoors with my friend. I don't have to take her to an indoor restaurant. I can enjoy the protests out on the street and writing the letters that I'm writing and learning really hard things. I can enjoy those because we are working for joy and freedom for us all. For every oppression we fight, there's a corresponding joy. Joy in the work. Joy in our companions, joy in the successes, and yes, even joy in our commiseration in the setbacks. Celebration and play are at the heart of our collective liberation. We don't need to wait for permission to play as we work for peace and justice. If we're doing that work sustainably, we are playing throughout. This has happened throughout our history. We celebrate Pride because a Black transgender sex worker named Martha Johnson threw a brick at a police officer's head in a bar, her safe place that was being raided while she was seeking joy, and started the Stonewall Riot. We celebrate Juneteenth because a U.S. Major General arrived in Galveston, Texas, with troops to point their guns at white people who had kept Black people enslaved for 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had freed them. Both Pride and Juneteenth are celebrations of the courage and tenacity of the oppressed and their allies, and have been created as such because we need to celebrate. We celebrate the summer solstice because we notice the turning of the seasons and are grateful to them, despite the pains of our bodies and our souls and our siblings. No, not despite them, alongside them. We can find joy in the choices we make to move our world toward liberation every day, like Catherine, the baseball player. So friends, how shall we play in this new beginning, this new freedom that we have been given? We can play with things to learn about them. And I've touched on this a little bit in one of my newsletter columns. We can, instead of pulling out the instructions for something, play with it a little bit and see if we can get it to work. We can learn how to do it in that playful way. We can play with new habits. I can try to get up earlier in the mornings. You know, in the winter and fall, I have been working on a body clock that gets me up at around 9 or 10. And this time of year, 9 or 10, it's already 85 degrees. I can play with that and maybe make new habits. There is a drag show happening at General Assembly this year. And it happened last year as well. You've seen word of it in your weekly newsletter for the last month or so. We're making play in that drag show out of both educating and working for visibility for our transgender and other queer siblings. And we can play with something to increase the pleasure and the joy for all of us as we work. Yes, it is appropriate to play when the world is hurting. It's how we take care of ourselves and each other. In this service, we're offering playful music to help us celebrate the pure joy of being alive in this moment, even as we talk about freedom and responsibility. Adrienne Marie Brown is a more than a source of mine, a teacher, a guru. She wrote this book called Pleasure Activism: The Politics of Feeling Good. And in this, she writes, pleasure is a feeling of happy satisfaction and enjoyment. And activism consists of efforts to promote, impede, or direct social, political, economic, or environmental reform with a desire to make improvements in society. So pleasure activism is the work we do to reclaim our whole, happy, and satisfiable selves from the impacts, delusions, and limitations of oppression and or supremacy. Pleasure activists believe that tapping into the potential goodness in each of us, we can generate justice and liberation, growing a healing abundance where we have been socialized to believe only scarcity exists. This is play and joy in the work. So my wish for us on this first day of summer and every day of the freedom that follows this one, that we feel both the freedom to play and the continuation of slower time, permission to play and to take care of ourselves, and that we respond with both a spirit of play and the spirit of care. May the whole of our beings be flooded with our hopes and memories, reaching inwards to the corner of our individual souls and our collective soul. May it be so, and may we be so.